أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the well-being of the Imam of Age, for the Shuhada, and for the mass massacre of Mu'mineen that has taken place in the last few days, and in particularly today, so that those who are oppressing are removed from the surface of this earth. For the families of the Shuhada, for their patience, sabr, ajr, and for the deceased, for their elevation, a Fatiha with a salawat. Quoting from this book written by Sayyid ibn Taus called Al-Luhuf, there he says that a person, he was holding the curtain of Kaaba, was blind, was pleading, "God, forgive me, although I know that you will not forgive me." Someone passing by that person, he said that, "What type of a dua is this? You've come here by the Kaaba, you are holding the curtain and you want Allah to forgive you, he forgives. But how come you say that I know you will not forgive me?" Says, "Listen to my story." "What is that?" Says that, "Once I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Sitting in a desert with a bowl in front of him. And that bowl was filled with blood. And there, two angels, they come to lash me with whips of fire. And I say, "Aman ya Rasulullah, help me. Help me, O Prophet of Allah." Wants to throw himself in the laps of Rasulullah. He says that, "Why?" And then he says that, "I, although I was in the army of Yazid, I did not use my sword against Hussein. My horse, it did not move a step to fight Hussein. I did not serve Yazid in any way against your son Hussein." Rasulullah says that your mere presence in the army of Yazid was a support of Yazid. And then he says, "Do you see what this is in this bowl? It's the blood of my son Hussein." Rasulullah, he dips his fingers in that blood of Abu Abdullah and wipes it onto the eyes of this person and says that, "Go away, that Allah will not forgive you." And then says, from that moment Rasulullah in that mukashifa wiped the blood of Hussein on my eyes, I got blinded. And that was the dua of Rasulullah, that you will not be forgiven, and that is why I have this dua as such, that forgive me although you will not forgive me. So all those who fight Abu Abdullah, who stand against Abu Abdullah, who massacre, who kill the mourners of Abu Abdullah, have a similar fate. That is why we say, "Allahumma la'anhum jami'a," that Allah curse them. That is the best prayers we have for them. That is, the sooner they are removed from the surface of this earth, the lesser their azab, their punishment in the hereafter will be. Quoting from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, this is further top up for the same claim of ours. Here Imam says, Man aradallah bihil khair, that is, if Allah wishes good for an individual, says, قَذَفَ فِي قَلْبِهِ حُبَّ الْحُسَيْنِ, says, Allah inspires, Allah implants the heart of that individual with the love of Hussein. That is, all of a sudden we feel that, now this majlis that has been established many a times, you have seen, I have seen, we all have witnessed that we had no intentions to be a participant in a majlis, in a gathering, but we are, all of a sudden we find that present in that majlis. How does that happen? Hadith says angels, they bring us here. Arrangements are made somewhere else. It may so happen the car broke down, there wasn't a ride, but we end up in this majlis. We are brought to such majalis. And that is how Allah does. He says the same thing, that Allah inspires a heart. Allah implants the love of Hussein in that heart. وَحُبَّ زِيَارَتِهِ, and the love of ziyarat and visiting Aba Abdullah. As a result of that, we end up here. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِ السُّوءِ, and if Allah intends the evil of an individual, says that قَذَفَ فِي قَلْبِهِ بُغْذَ الْحُسَيْنِ, in the heart of that person, he puts the hatred of Hussein. Now what we see today, this mass massacre of mu'mineen, is due to the hatred they have towards mu'mineen. Hatred towards mu'mineen means hatred towards Hussein. That hiqd they have towards Hussein, Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. We talked about opening that account yesterday in the presence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and all our aqaid were safe deposited. Now we need to maintain this account, and on and off we need to remind ourselves of these aqaid that we have. And for that, Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam have given us a lot of material. Ziyarat that we have, du'as that we have. Among them, if you look into this Ziyarat Ali Yasin, reported by the Imam of time, that is a bond with the Imam himself, and at the same time a reminder of all our faith. Reminder of the Imams that we have faith in, reminder of the Day of Judgment that we have faith in. Or Dua Yastashir, that is also the same thing, which gives us a lot of hope and being optimistic with Allah. Dua Adila, that too is another reminder. Joshan Kabir, on and off, listen to it, recite it. That dua also gives a lot of hope. One of the other duas, it is called Dua Ahd Thani. Like the Dua Ahd, which we recite in the morning after the Fajr prayers, we've got two versions of it, a longer version and the shorter version. It's called Ziyaratul Ahd, and you find it in Mafatih al-Jinan after Dua Nudba. There's another one called Ahd Thani. Now this is reported by our fifth Imam, Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. And for this dua, Imam says that if you recite it just once in your lifetime, once, says, for that recitation of the dua, your name will be enlisted in those who will be serving the Imam. And if the Imam returns and you were not alive, says that you will be summoned to serve him. Just for that recitation of the dua once in your lifetime, which is known as Dua Ahd Thani. So all these are beautiful teachings that we have from Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam, to have that account healthy, maintain it well, so that on that day when we will be in need, everything is given back to us. With reference to Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam, the more closer we are with them, towards them, the more we benefit. And says that نَحْنُ خُزَّانُ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ, that is, we, the Imams, the Ma'sumeen, are the treasures of the knowledge of Allah. Whatsoever you want, get from that door. You want to communicate with God, get from that door. You want to be forgiven, come to that door. نَحْنُ تَرَاجِمَةَ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَعْسُومُونَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ أَمَرَ اللَّهِ بِطَاعَتِنَا. Allah has commanded you to be obedient to us. By us being obedient to Ma'asumeen, it is we who benefit. I'll give you an example over here. It says that in this is being reported by from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He says that in a town called Musayyab in Iraq, when the two rivers meet, which is Dajla and Furat, and from there a person he used to frequent, come often to pay a ziyarah to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. Says that when he comes to pay a ziyarat to Amir al-Mu'mineen, there's another person living in that vicinity, he mocks at him. Every time he wants to come to pay a visit, he mocks. And says that on this day when he was leaving to pay a ziyarat to Amir al-Mu'mineen, this time he insults this mu'min plus Amir al-Mu'mineen. He couldn't reply. With a heavy heart, he comes to the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And there comes and complains that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't know what to do. Every time he mocks at me, insults me, and this time he has insulted you as well. And I want you to tell me what to do. How do I deal with this person? That very moment in the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is inspired, he is informed, and Amir al-Mu'mineen says to him, I cannot do anything to him, no matter what you ask, what you want. He says, why? He's been insulting me, hurting me for such a long time. Imam in reply says that he has a right on us, due to which we cannot fight him. He says, what right? Says, this time you see him, say to him, if he inquires, and when he says that, what was the right he has on you? He says, once he was sitting by the Furat. Furat is that river. He looked at that Furat and sees all that water flowing. Says that Umar Sa'd, although he wanted to kill Abu Abdullah and his household, why did he deprive them of all this water? Why did he not give them a little water? If he wanted to kill them, let it go, doesn't matter, kill them. But at least he should have given them some water before killing them. He was reminded of that incident and says that all of a sudden, just one tear flowed down his eye for the oppressions that were seen by Abu Abdullah. Imam Ali says that for that reason, he has a right on us. Just for that one tear, although a person who was that bad. Now when he comes back from the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he meets him, says that, what did you do? Did you go and complain? You said you're going to complain. He said, yes, I did. Then did you get a message? He said, yes, I did. And he has a message for you too. Says, what is that? He reveals the entire story to him, that what had happened when you were... sitting all by yourself, you were reminded of that incident, and then a tear rolled down your eye. He says, no one was present there. It was me on my own. I never said this to anyone. And if that was told to you by Amir al-Mu'mineen, it means he is haq. His household is haq. And at that very moment says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa anna Aliyan waliyullah, and becomes a mu'min. So never underestimate anything in this field, in this horizon, in this atmosphere that we are in. It is great. A majlis held for Abu Abdullah is great. Services provided to Abu Abdullah are paid back to us in this dunya. Much more is returned, given back to us in the hereafter. We talked about having iman in Allah. We talked about being optimistic with Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, having a lot of hope in Him. And then we started this topic on takfir, wherein the wrong that was done by people throughout their life, Allah, how He covers it and how He compensates it with good, so on and so forth. And it was mentioned that among the factors which play a part in this takfir was embracing Islam, becoming a Muslim, and all the wrong that was done is covered. Old age is another factor. Repentance is another factor. Shahadat is another factor. That the moment when a person, the first drop of his blood drops on the earth, Allah forgives that person because of that shahadat. All he possessed was given in the way of Allah. Now this shahadat, if it is topped up with a fragrance of Hussein, that is what is happening today. That is another beauty, another top up to the reward which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives to an individual. Sins that we do are forgiven by the prayers that we offer. And it was mentioned yesterday that a person who had sinned, he says his prayers, Rasulullah was present there, and he said to Rasulullah, then give me some dua, tell me a tip, what shall I do to be forgiven? He says that this prayer you just said, that has resulted in your sins being forgiven. So that is takfir, that all these prayers that we have, they act as a protection for us, and also removing of the sins. The general rule that we have, according to Quran and Riwayat, is that all the good that we do, the good actions that are done, they are stored in the right of the creation, which is known as Malakut A'la. And all the wrong that is done, it is stored towards the left of this creation, and that is known as Sijjin. And some of the sins, they are so horrible, so detestable, that they burn the good deeds of ours. So we have to be very careful that sometimes we underestimate the wrong that we do. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says that in أَشَدُّ الزُّنُوبُ مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ. That is, the most severe, the strongest of the sins are the sins that the doer of the sin says, this is tiny, this is small. No sin is ever tiny. Quran says that if you keep away from the smaller sins, if you keep away from the greater sins, smaller sins will be forgiven. Now if we assume the smaller sins to be simple and just continue with them, that small sin is not a small sin anymore. That small sin automatically upgrades, elevates to a greater sin. And a greater sin is a sin for which there is a punishment that has been mentioned. Now, among the factors which play a part in us being forgiven is hijrat. Hijrah means migration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, migrated from Mecca to Medina. So all those afflictions that were there on the Muslims there, as a result of which they had to leave everything behind and move, relocate to another location. Allah says, for this hijrah, they will be rewarded. For this hijrah, for the pains they see in being relocated from one place to another, the wrong that was done will be forgiven. That is takfir. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا, says those who migrated, those who were hurt, those who were punished in my way, those who gave away, who were killed in my way, in my path, like what is happening today. وَقُتِلُوا, says, for them, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ, says, definitely, it's with ta'keed, with all emphasis, says that I will definitely forgive all the wrong they had done. لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Says, they will definitely be made to enter the heaven for this pain, for these troubles they saw during their life. So that is that great grace of Allah towards the mu'mineen. So the pains that we see in this dunya, afflictions that we see in this dunya, all of that is compensated by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam says that drop of the blood of a shaheed, when it drops onto the earth, it is a sign of his being firm. It is a sign of his being, of him being truthful to that allegiance he had with Allah. What was that allegiance? That he is firm on the aqa'id, he is firm on the teachings, and whatsoever was sent forth to him through the Prophet and his rightful sons and imams, all of that is acceptable for us. So shaheed means someone who bears witness. What witness? That is the witness, that is the testimony, that I have faith in whatsoever you have sent forth, and for that reason I am killed. One of the other factors we talked about quite a lot, which covers the wrong, is tawbah. Tawbah, repentance. These nights, nights of tawbah. Day of Ashura, day of tawbah. Day of Ashura is like Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, we turn back to Allah. All the wrong that was done is forgiven. And it was mentioned that on that day of Ashura, when we have cried, after all that mourning and azar, we feel light. Why do we feel light? We should feel more heavy. We have cried so much of dehydration, and after all that, we should be tired. The reason why we feel light, it's that wrong that was on us, all the sins, and Quran recognizes sins as burden, aghlal. Quran recognizes all that as heavy chains on us. And in fact and reality, that is the case. Because of that, wrong has been removed by that association and bonding with Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, we feel light. And this majlis of Hussein, it's one of the greatest graces and blessings that Allah has upon mu'mineen. So, tawbah means we break ourselves and we present ourselves before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that way we are forgiven. Now, tawbah, repentance, is higher than takfir. Takfir means covers, Allah covers the wrong of ours by these different factors that were mentioned. But tawbah in rank is higher. In takfir, what happens is automatically by saying that shahadatain, a person embraces, becomes a Muslim, and all the wrong of his past is covered by Allah. But in tawbah, what happens is that when I repent and correct myself, the wrong is forgiven. And at the same time, a correction for my future is given to me. In takfir, that correction doesn't exist. In takfir, only the past is covered. In tawbah, the past is covered, and also the future, we are navigated and guided. Quoting from Biharul Anwar here, our fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam says, says that on the day of judgment, a mu'min will be brought before Allah the Almighty. And Allah Jalla wa'ala, it was mentioned that he will take the account himself. Now here he will show the wrong to the sinner. Says, this is the wrong you had done. Allah shows all the wrong of mine to me. And then says, he will not even show that to Rasulullah, so that this sinner is ashamed in the presence of Rasulullah. That is the grace of Allah. And then he says that when this sinner will be ashamed upon seeing his performance report, Allah says, I will forgive you. Not only will I forgive you, But I will change all this wrong that was done to good. That is Tawbah. And that is being optimistic in Allah. And it was mentioned repeatedly that the more optimistic we are with Allah, the better and the easier He will take that account. And in this concept of Tawbah, we find that people, when they repent, they say to Allah that what will happen in the hereafter? He in that glorious hadith says that I will forgive you. Plus, the angels who were a witness and who had recorded this sin of yours, I will delete that sin from that record. They may say, we remember, our memory is quite sharp. He says, I will make them forgetful. The atmosphere where this sin was done will be a witness, because whatever Allah has created will be a shahid, will be a shaheed in the hereafter. He says, even from that atmosphere, I will delete every trace, every sign of that sin, so that this mu'min is not defamed. This is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to end up in the heaven, all of us. Now, if we have repented today, for example, yesterday we opened that account, we submitted all our aqaid, and we want to have a healthy, clean account. Here Ma'asum has some tips. He says to check if you are truthful in your claim, says that if you have repented, one of the signs of this repentance is that if you were worshipping, for example, 1 kilogram every day, says increase it to 1.2, 1.5, a little bit of an increase. If you spend, for example, 15, 20 minutes of your time in salat, in worship, increase that to 7. That means that we are sincere in our tawbah. We have repented. If the quality of our salat was just the white brand salat, says now make it a good quality salat. Du'as, if you are not used to, start doing some du'as. Recitals, if you are not used to, a few recitals every day. Says at least in addition to these prayers, you have recite Suratul Hamd 7 times every day in addition. So do something a little bit more than what you were doing. That means that you are sincere and truthful in the claim that you have repented and you want Allah to forgive you. Then says that if you want to see as to whether your claim in you in that tawbah is right, see that those friends who were with me, are they the same friends? If the friends were bad and I have repented, says your repentance will be accepted if you remove those friendship. The bad friendship that you had has to leave. If the friendship was same, it means I'm not truthful in my claim. The desires I had before Tawbah, are they the same after Tawbah? If that is the case, then I have to change. My inner self before I repented and my inner self after my tawbah, if it's the same, it means that I have to re-look into this. Quran says that my interior and my exterior has to be the same before tawbah and after tawbah. Says inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. That Allah forgives. He forgives everything, no matter how much we have done. Now here, Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullahi Alayh, he says that mankind, you remember that Allah is saying that I always remember you. Allah says, I always remember you. You have to correct yourself and try to remember me. That is, if man knew that the sky and the earth are the troops of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and that is, he is always on the watch out, we will be better people. Now, what do we do with all the wrong that we have? One may say that this making of one sin, all these sins that we do, if we remove them, it's like these drug addicts who are drowned in this addiction of drugs. And if someone wants to help them, correct them, how do we help them? We say that first those addictions have to be removed. And after that, you give them a substitute, a supplement, something which hurts and harms them lesser. And then a good food, slightly, slowly, is provided to them. Because those who are these addicts, they don't take anything. They don't like to eat or drink anything. The same thing is with these sinners. First of all, that sin has to be removed. Once that sin has been removed, slowly, gradually, it has to be topped up with all the good, with hasanat. The same thing is with us, that sin has to be removed. And as it was mentioned repeatedly, that we never have to assume any sin being small. One of the factors is old age. A person, when he becomes old, Allah says that because of his old age, I will forgive him. That is another grace, kindness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we too have to respect old people a lot more. As long as that old age also, it's a special grace from Allah. Normally when we are young, because of that might that we have, all that energy that we have, it makes us proud. But when we start breaking, and normally it's after the age of 40, and that is that age of maturity, of intellect, we start knowing ourselves, and as man grows older, he breaks more. As children, they grow fast, when they get old also, they break fast. Allah says, because of that old age of theirs, I will forgive them. And that is the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which is itself a blessing. One of these personalities we can mention over here, it's marhum salawat. Ayatullah Mianji, he is reporting this. He says that there lived an old man in Iran, and the beauty of this person was that he was quite wealthy, and whenever he had to give zakat, if for example the zakat he had to pay was 20,000 tumans, instead of paying the 20,000 tumans, he used to give away lands worth 200,000-300,000 tumans, much more than what he had to pay. Says that he had rooms which he used to let out for these caravans who used to come, and when it was these days of azar for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he hosted the azar for Abu Abdullah in the best way. When he grew old, he says to this Ayatullah Marhum Mianzi, that I want you to stay here tonight. That is, when I die, I want you to proceed and carry out all my funeral services. He says, I was just amazed to see what he is saying, that he is healthy, he is nothing wrong, just an old person, old man. Says, past the midnight, he stands up. Says to Allah that, God, you said, respect those who are old. Be kind to them. Says, God, I am old. Be kind to me. Says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then gives away his life. So old age is a blessing from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala if we have faith in all these sayings and teachings of Masumin. We talked about Akhirah, we talked about Sirats, and that Sirat is the day of horror, day of judgment, but for Mu'mineen it is going to be easy. The length and the duration of the day is 50,000 years. For mu'mineen, it is going to be as much as the time they used to take to offer their prayers. Now, the accountability on the Day of Judgment says that it's going to be of four types. Some people will be an account will be taken from them very easily. There is another group, a very severe account will be taken from them. The third group will enter the heaven بغير حساب. The fourth group will enter the hell بغير حساب. So four types of accountabilities or taking of an account in the hereafter. And all of these are mentioned in Quran. Says mu'mineen are they who fear their Lord and are scared and being accounted in that bad way. So taking a tough account does not mean that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is zalim. No, he is not zalim. Inna Allaha laysa bizzallamin lil'abid. Quran says that indeed Allah, zallam in Arabic means someone who does a lot of tyranny, a lot of oppression. So here it says that Inna Allaha laysa bizzallamin lil'abid, that Allah indeed is not zallam. Does it mean that he does a little bit of zulm? No. He does not do any zulm at all. No zulm. If there is zulm, if there is a delay, it was mentioned, delay is from us. Because of the excess baggage that we have, we will be delayed at those check-in counters. But if we weigh our luggage at home and come in there, and it's just 50 pounds, easy check-in. If we have printed the boarding pass at home, even faster, straight to that security. The same thing in the hereafter. If we got everything done in advance, no holding time, straight to the security. Says that, how do we look into our a'mal, our actions? Here in that dua Arafah, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam. Says that Allah, the good that we have done. The phrase which he used, he says that Ilahi man kanat mahasinuhu masawihi fakayfa la takunu masawihi masawi. Says that God, the good of someone which is bad, then how detestable will the bad of this individual be? Now what do we mean by this? The good that we do is bad. Now assuming I live for 100 years and I say everything properly, all my ahkam and a'mal and actions are good. And the weight of all of these actions, assuming, is 50 kilograms. That is all the good I did in that 100 years. Now all this good of mine, which is that weight, compare it to one rak'at of prayers of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Can we compare it? Good of mine with just a fraction of a good of Amirul Mu'mineen, compared to that my good is bad, then how detestable my bad is going to be. Imam says that God, someone whose good is bad, for that reason says that Aqibni bi'afwik, that is, if you were to take an account from me, God, take an account with your grace, not with your justice. If it was to be with your justice, definitely I will be a loser. Not only me, the entire creation of Allah will be a loser. No one will win. We talked about being optimistic with Allah. What we ask from Him is what we get from Him. Now here when you go to supermarkets and grocery stores, what we want, we just pick it, we bring it, scan it, and self-checkout, leave. We ask Allah that in the hereafter He deals with us in the same way, because we've been living in Europe and America and that is how we've been living here. He just picks us, scans us, and then check out. Holding up and then weighing and balancing and scales and all that. We are not used to that, God. By your grace, judge us with your grace. With His justice, everyone will lose. So here, it was mentioned yesterday that there is an account in the grave, and that is a general account. We will be inquired of what our faith is, what we had faith in, ahkam and actions, and all of that was safe deposited yesterday. And in the hereafter, there's going to be this itemized billing, wherein every action of ours will be opened, namaz will be opened, what the niyats was, how the recitation was, how did I do my ruku, did I stand properly, did I perform the taharat correctly, so on and so forth. So that is going to be that itemized, detailed billing of every action, every amal of ours, for which Quran says, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. That is, every mithqal means as tiny as a mustard seed, or even smaller than that. Says, that much of a good will be judged, that much of a bad also will be judged. In Usul al-Kafi, our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, says that in the hereafter there are three registers. There is a register of hasanat. There is a register, hasanat meaning the good. A register of ni'mat, the blessings which Allah had provided. And a register of sayyi'at. Sayyi'at meaning the bad that we had done. So every individual will have these three registers. And the time which Allah had given to us to live in this dunya, assuming I live for 100 years. He says that for this 100 years, I gave you a budget of ni'mat, of blessings, X amount of ni'mat. And if we cash those ni'mat, for example, if it was $1 million ni'mat that he had given us in this 100 years of life I had lived, says these $1 million will be checked, cashed and balanced with the sayyi'at, the wrong I did, and with the hasanat, the good which I did. Now to understand, it's like these plans that we have. You've got a plan, 1500 minutes, they say, talk, text or data, whatever you do. If you text, it will be reduced. If you talk, it will be reduced. If you use data, it will be reduced from that plan. So I lived for 100 years. That many blessings Allah gave me. He says that your good will, your first, the bad which you did will be removed from those, from that budget which was $1 million. So all that bad I did, when it is measured, that $1 million is already lost. Hasanat which I did have no weight. So with those fingertip judgments and calculations, we find that we are already a loser. For that reason, our ma'sumeen, they have this teaching and they have taught us that you ask Allah that He judges us with His grace, not with His justice. Amen. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by ma'sumeen alayhimus salam help us on that day of horror, on that day of judgment, and judge us just as we just mentioned, that He picks us, scans us, and from those self-checkouts makes us enter the heaven, inshallah. And that is possible. By this bond that we have with Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam, we will definitely get it, inshallah. On a day like today, we find that in Karbala, one of the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is Yazid bin Hassin Hamdani. He comes to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, says that, Yabna Rasulullah, allow me to go and have a little chat with this Umar al-Sa'd, la'anatullahi alayh. Imam says, okay, you can go talk to him. Comes to Umar al-Sa'd, does not wish him salam, and starts his talk. Umar al-Sa'd says that, why did you not wish me salam? Why did you not greet me? Am I not a Muslim? Hassin Hamdani, he says that, were you a Muslim, you would not have fought, or you would not have intended to fight the son of Rasulullah. He says that, yes, I know. Umar al-Sa'd is saying that, I know the lofty position of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. I know it is haram to hurt them. I know it is haram to fight them. I know it is haram to disobey them. All that is known to me. But what can I do with this heart of mine? I've been promised the rule of Ray. Ray is Iran, Persia. Says, I've been promised the rule of Persia. For that reason, I cannot let that desire of mine go. And for that reason, I'm prepared to hurt and commit the sin to fight Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And after this lengthy conversation he comes and reports to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Here Abu Abdullah sends another companion, says that go and schedule an appointment with Umar al-Sa'd. Umar al-Sa'd agrees. Abu Abdullah with 20 of his men comes, they have a meeting point. From the other side, Umar al-Sa'd comes with 20 of his men. And they come to a point here, Abu Abdullah says to his men, me with Abul Fadl and Ali Akbar will proceed, all the others wait. From the other side, Umar al-Sa'd also does the same with his son Hafs and with his slave, comes and here they have a talk. And in this talk here, says the same thing. Imam says, let me go, I'll go back to Medina or any part of the world. Gives advice to Umar al-Sa'd. Now that also is the beauty of Ma'asumeen, that we find that until the last moment of their life, that tabligh is there, that propagation is there, invitation is open for them to return. Some accepted, many denied. And when he says, Umar al-Sa'd, come back, repent, wash your hands from this sin. He says that all this wealth that I have been promised, the rule of Persia that I have been promised, what will happen to that? Imam says, much more than that I will give. Says, I'm going to lose all the wealth I have. Says, I will give you much more than that. And then he says, he comes up with all different excuses and finally says that if I let you go, or if I come towards you, all my family members, my relatives, they will be massacred here. And finally, when he does not agree, Imam says that by God, not a grain of wheat of Iraq will you ever be able to consume. He says that, well, if that was not the case, I'll use barley. He doesn't accept. And Imam says that by God, that desire of ruling over Persia, that also you will never get to it. And you will now this message was reported to Ubaidullah by Umar al-Sa'd. And in that meeting, Shimr La'natullah alayh also was present. Ubaidullah wanted to change his tactics, but Shimr, he stood firm. He says, no, under no way will you change this. And you have to fight Hussein. Present over there, we find Abul Fazl al-Abbas and Ali Akbar. عليه السلام. Quran says that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That is, when Allah wants to test, He tests in different ways. Sometimes it is by fright, sometimes it is by taking away the wealth, sometimes by taking away the sons, the offsprings of an individual, wealth which he possesses, life which he has given. We find that all of these tests had landed on Abu Abdullah in just a fraction of a day. That is, the day of Ashura starts, Abu Abdullah is the first one, and who is the one who works the hardest on that day. Normally, those who are the chief of staff or the generals, they don't work so hard. But here we find it the other way around. Everyone from the Ashab, when they used to come to seek permission to go and fight, Imam is reluctant. But when it is his own sons, his own children, they come and seek permission, Imam says, yes, go. Qasim ibn al-Hasan, his brother's son, when he comes, he has to plead so much. The mother has to come, bring the note of his brother. And upon that, he allows. But for his own sons, it is something else. Ali Akbar, son of Layla and Abu Abdullah, when he comes to seek permission. Now regarding the greatness of this son of Abu Abdullah, says, أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا. That is, whenever people were reminded of Rasulullah, they used to see Ali Akbar. There wasn't anyone much who resembled the Prophet so much as he did. Even in those meetings that were held in Muawiyah's courts, he once inquired that who will be the best successor of mine for this hukumat, for this khilafah. Everyone said something. One of them said, you will never die, you will live forever. Some said some, and he said, no one is better than Ali, that is Ali Akbar. The greatness which he has, the charm which he has, the authority he possesses, no one is better than Ali Akbar. Now, even the enemies, they admitted the beauty and the greatness of this. When the caravan arrives at Karbala, here Ali Akbar dozes off. Abu Abdullah dozes off. When he gets up, he says that I see and I sense as if blood is following this caravan. Ali Akbar says, Afalasna bilhaq? Are we not on the right path? Then how come everything is against us? Quran says that when Prophet Ibrahim was tested, Allah instructed him to kill his son. He brings his son to that place of slaughter. He starts to slaughter, but it is changed to a lamb. Son is saved, lamb is killed. But for Abu Abdullah, that is not the case. He brings his family, all of them have to be sacrificed. Each one of them has to be sacrificed. When Ali Akbar alayhi salam sets off, here Maqatil, they say that Imam looked at him for nadara ilayhi nadara ayasin min. Says, looked at him as someone who is helpless, who has lost all hope that this son of mine who is departing and setting off will not return. Says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'oon. That is, God, from you we are and to you we shall return. And then says that, God, be a witness that they are killing someone. There is no one the like of his on this surface of this earth, and no one who resembles your prophet the most. He fights, and then when he falls to the ground, he says to his father, Father, this atash, this thirst is killing me. Abu Abdullah shows his tongue and says, Ali Akbar, look at my tongue. When he sees it's much more drier than his own, he is killed, sliced, and the body of Ali Akbar is brought to the camps by Abu Abdullah Hussein. A father carrying the body of his young son. How painful will that be? Says, brings the body towards the camps and lays him by the shuhada. Here the performance of Zainab al-Kubra is great. Now, a father, when he brings the body of his son, definitely he will be broken. So that the father, who is the head of this caravan, is not broken, she quickly takes the body and says, Hussein, go to the field to divert his attention from his son. She takes the body, she cries for Ali Akbar and sends the father to the ground. Abu Abdullah serves the most, but more than him we find it Zainab al-Kubra, who carries out this mission even after him. And on that day of horror, that day of Ashura, we find that everything has come to an end. Zainab starts her mission. The tragedy which unfolds over there says that there was just two eyewitnesses who saw what exactly happened with Abu Abdullah. That is, when he had fallen to the ground, and when that mal'oon was seated on the chest of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, it was Zainab and that mal'oon Shim, la'natullahi alayhi, says that andam buridam az zindagi dil kamat be maqtal shimr siyah dil Umi davido manni davida Usu ye maptal mansu ye qate. Says that moment when Shem, he headed towards Maqtal, I broke my ties with everything in this creation. Says he ran towards the Maqtal and I ran towards the Qatil, the killer. Umi Davido Manmi Davida Usu ye maktal mansu ye qatil Umi keshido manmi keshida U az kamar tir man ah batin Umi burido من می بریدم او می بریدم من می بریدم او از حسین سر من غیر از او ده او می بریدم من می بریدم او از حسین سر من غیر از او ده جس کا مر جائے جوان فرزند وہ ماں کیا کرے سر کو پیٹے کڑائے بزم غم برپا کرے استغاثہ شاہ کا سن کر تو اصغر رن میں آئے کیا غضب ہے کون سا فرزن بے زبان سویا کرے لاش فرزند جوان پر رو کے لیلا نے کہا بعد تیرے اے علی اکبر مادر کیا کرے شاہ آئے ماں کے پاس آیا کر
بزم غم برپا کرے.
الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. الهي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 يا الله. إلهي بحق الحسين اشف صدر الحسين بظهور الحجة. اللهم أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد وعجل في فرج محمد وآل محمد. ماتم حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.